which, the first of which we have had quite a bit of discussion about already, but we need to return to once again. Mr. Tanglerini, are you, what's happening?
Let me just talk a little bit about the two information items, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Woodruff and Mr. Harkin to walk you through them. The first one is the CIP prioritization policy, and the second is the fiscal 2008 budget. We're calling it a work session. And in these instances, these aren't action items, but we would like to report back on the CIP prioritization with discussions we've had with the RAC, with MetroRiders.org, and with the local jurisdictions, and to give the board some ideas that have come out of that as a way to establish a prioritization. The plan is then to come back in October, as requested by the chair of this committee, with a CIP prioritization policy that can be approved by the committee. And then we'd like to talk a little bit about the fiscal year 2008 budget, how it's shaping up, what some of the cost drivers are, what some of the issues we're facing, then what our plans are over the next several months to develop for the board an FY 2008 budget proposal that you can vet, you can comment, you can put your stamp on, and then later approve. So with that, I'll turn it over.
I guess the question, the initial question about the CIP prioritization policy, explain to me, and we didn't have a chance to meet Mr. Woodruff because you were out of town and my schedule got kind of blocked, but explain to me why we should take the time today to look at this when we're going to have, do you really need this interim step, or can we just simply await the policy itself and have the discussion at that time? Is there a pressing need to have this?
No, there is not a pressing need. We can wait, and I would just add to what Dan said. These two items are opening up the budget process. The board will see, the riders will see, any interested party can see how this budget's developed, how you set the priorities, why one project is ranked A versus B versus C, if that's how we end up. And we propose on the operating budget to give you many options in December, the board many options, from expenditures, reductions, revenue, fair policy, and basically this will take the budget process and let the public have as much involvement as they choose. But
right,
no,
but
we do not.
The question that we're going to have, it's sometimes better for me, others can state their point of view on this, but it's sometimes better for me to have something concrete in front of me that I can see and evaluate, and I don't, unless there's a compelling need to go over this now.
We can wait.
No, we can wait.
All right. Because this is a very busy time for some of us, and we do want to maximize our opportunity. For all of us, it's always a very busy time, but some of us have pressing matters. Okay, so is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay, hearing no objection, then we will pass those items. And we go to the contract actions.
Yes, we brought this to the board previously. You had some questions and comments. Very in the interest of time. The proposal on the contract actions is that the board gives staff the authority to initiate contracts for routine items that are funded in the budget, like tires and batteries and fuel and insurance and those types of things, without coming back to the board each time. We showed you last time this each page in this packet represents a contract that we come back to the board. And we would like your authority, if it's a routine contract, to be able to initiate those. We've added some additional information in this package, such as the starting on page 21, comparison of existing and proposed thresholds, which continues on to the next page through page 23. And then in the appendix, we've actually provided the document, the staff document, the policy instruction, and penciled up, marked up, redlined what that would look like with these changes. We would propose to give the board a list of all the contracts that would be in the budget. For example, in the 08 budget, we'll have a section, funded contracts, so you would see something like bus tires, 400,000, I'm making this all up, but that type of information. So you would know what we were doing. The purpose, of course, is to save staff time in preparing these various items and to save your time not having to go through them one by one as we march through them during the year.
Discussion on the staff recommendation. Mr. Kaufman.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly appreciate the effort to streamline. The only concern, well, I have suggested modification. For those contracts over $1 million, you know, they get reported, but we can't do anything. They're just reported. It happened. If for those that are over $1 million, we maintain the review that we approve them for those over $1 million, and for all the rest, those under $1 million, that we basically have a fiscal year review period just to see for the course of one fiscal year how this worked. Let's give it a trial period. I appreciate the general manager's initiative. We just need to make certain that as a policymaking body, we're comfortable with how this worked.
Mr. Chairman.
And I move that modification.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're moving the modification. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mr. Solomon.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Mr. Coffman on his point. Well taken. The existing policy has been in place since 1998, and really haven't seen anything in this presentation that discuss any problems with the existing policy other than efficiency and the streamlining process. But that streamlining has a potential for some abuse that, as governors of this organization, we take responsibility for. So limiting the authority to contracts less than $1 million would seem to satisfy some of the concerns I had when I read this recommendation. I would support Mr. Kaufman's point.
Mrs. Mack?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think pages 29 and 22 of the handout are very good at presenting the existing thresholds plus the ones that are proposed. And so as I understand Mr. Kaufman's motion, it is to accept the proposals. Mr. Kaufman, would you listen to me? I'm talking about your motion.
Sorry,
is your motion to accept pages 21 and 22, except to put a $1 million threshold on top of what's here?
Yes, and to add that this new policy have a one-year trial period.
Fine, and I would like to, that's what I thought, and I just want to make sure that, also, I'd like to be a little bit more specific in terms of the point, if budgeted, and as long as what Mr. Woodruff says is what these contracts that would be approved without coming to the board would be listed in the budget, and so it would be clear to go back and reference them as you give us the report of what has occurred during a month or a quarter or whatever period we're monitoring. The other thing I'd like to see here is an affirmative statement that says if it's not in the budget, it won't be approved. I mean, I know that it says, it talks about what if budgeted, but I would just like to cover the other end of it to just say specifically that if it's not in the budget, it will come back to the board.
Okay.
Do you accept that clarification, Mr. Kaufman?
Yes.
Your clarification is accepted.
Thank you.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Let me make sure I understand now that one of my questions is going to be $100,000. Per action, which means there could be multiple actions. So is the million intended to limit that?
The intent, again, I'm just looking at those awards, $1 million and above. That's my only focus.
Well, what I'm wondering is if there's a $100,000 action, and then another $100,000 action, another $100,000 action, there's not necessarily a limit on that. But right. The limitation is that it's within approved budget.
Right, and then that budget specifies, we actually provide the board with a list of actions that we would be taking.
Okay. Now, the part that bothers me here is that within the approved budget, because we had a situation here just a few months ago where we had something done and we were asked and we told, yes, it's within the approved budget. We subsequently had to look to find and didn't seem to actually be in any budget document. It was apparently interpreted as having been applied at some other very general thing and all that. So What's not clear to me is what within the approved budget means.
And that's why Chairwoman Mack, and this was part of our proposal, is that we would actually clarify what the specific actions are as part of our budget document. So we would be clear what actions we're taking in the coming fiscal year, what our proposed actions would be, and an estimate of what that action would be in the coming fiscal year. So there aren't big amorphous project titles that then, when you approve the big amorphous project title, we can work diligently to figure out how to make things fit under it.
And we also want to greatly increase the information in the budget document itself, so you could see, I believe you're referencing the telephone contract, you could see right in there, telephone contract, what year, why, how much, so we could say to you, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, go to this page. So we're also going to try to enhance the budget. We will enhance the budget documents to help with that.
I feel a lot better.
And that was part of the, I mean, the information items that you were provided with, and we'll talk some more about over the next couple of months. That's part of our effort, just generally, to raise the board's awareness of the specific elements of the budget, peel it apart, increase the visibility and the transparency of the process so we don't get into these discussions about whether it really is there or not, and spend more time talking about things like this and less time approving individual $15,000 contracts.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Mack.
I just want to comment on the point that Mr. Zerman made. I'm a little bit concerned about contracts with the same vendor that would go over $1 million. And the reason for that is
multiple
contracts with the same vendor that would go over $1 million. I think since we're into a trial year, I would really like to add that to the amendment if Mr. Goffman would accept it.
I guess the only question I have is that if that's part of, say, providing a given, I'll accept your recommendation.
Thank you.
I mean, can I ask a clarification? So the point is, if multiple contract actions with any one vendor brought the authority to over $1 million, we would seek board approval of that.
Right, if it's not in the budget.
Well, if it's not in the budget, we have to seek board approval.
Well, that's true.
It.
Okay, that's fine. That's
what I'm so the point is that if our, in, for whatever reason, in planning these contracts, we somehow decided to go and do multiple actions with people that took us over $1 million, we would need board approval of that. I think at one level it's covered, but I can understand we could specify that any specific action or series of actions that would lead to an expenditure of more than $1 million would be approved by the board.
That's fine.
Further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, I don't know whether I can put you to the test here, Mr. Kaufman, to restate the amendment. I think we may have to. Are you able to do that?
Got amended too many times.
I
can start it and then defer to Mrs. Mack if you would like it clarified for the record.
But I bet Rick has it.
Yeah. Does the staff have
yeah.
Rick, could you?
Does the staff have the amendment that they can state it?
I would think that in the second resolved, it would say that in the course of conducting authority business, any contractual matter in excess of $1 million or multiple contracts totaling more than $1 million per individual contractor, or contractual matters that differ from what is contained in the approved budget. That phrase goes in that resolve.
Oh, it also has a one-year, we're going to
one-year trial period.
Did I hear that part?
Yes, sir.
Right, so we have a one-year.
Another resolve that has a
one-year
trial.
We're going to review this in a 12 months from now, approximately,
mm-hmm.
to determine how this is working. Does that accurately state the motion?
Yes.
Okay, then all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment is carried, and now we're on the main motion to approve the staff recommendation. Discussion? 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 All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the recommendation as amended is approved. Approved changes to authority policy for the use of credit cards. Mr. Woodruff, are you going to?
Yes, sir, I am. This also is one we brought to the board, and you had some good questions. We've done further research, contacted the contributing jurisdictions to see how they conduct this business. Again, the purpose is to streamline the procurement actions of the authority, and I want to assure you that we do have in place controls, and Ray Griswold, the purchasing manager, can speak to this in great detail, but we will be able to detect and correct if there's misuse of this card. Now, will there be instances where we use the card and sales tax gets paid? Yes, there will, and we'll have to go back and correct those. I mean, we know those things will occur, but Mr. Stewart has agreed that as part of his ongoing audit of the credit card, which happens right now, that there will be one of his staff, so we have a good check and balance. They will be looking online daily at the procurements made, so we're going to see anything out of the norm. We have the merchant code control. We can lock out different merchants on different cards depending on what the intent is of the card. As I said, we'll be checking this daily. We'll have ongoing audits. Each card will have a person's name on it. They're responsible for the card. They're responsible to make sure the receipts are turned in when the card is being used. The department head has to approve the individual or individuals in the department that have the card. We will require receipts. I talked about the merchant category blackout. I think it's the thing to do, and I think I'm sure we have controls in place, and with Mr. Stewart's oversight, we will make sure that these controls are used.
I would like to add one other thing. The way we're proposing to use this card provides us the opportunity to speed vendor payments and actually have procurement officials use the card to pay invoices. We'll reduce the amount of time, effort, and energy we have to put into accounts payable actions. They'll speed payments to vendors, a complaint we hear frequently from our vendors. We do have then the ability with the individual's name on the card to trace back any issues to an accountable individual. We'll have a zero tolerance policy with those individuals because we recognize the authority and the trust that the board is putting in us as staff. We'll have the opportunity to use the cards on approved business travel, which will also reduce the amount of paperwork and also reduce the amount of administrative burden that goes into that. And so in many ways, we think that this is a model program that also pays dividends to the authority because the deal we have worked out with our credit card provider gives us rebates for use of the card. So we'll actually not only be saving money, reducing administrative costs, we'll actually be I'm going to sound like a credit card advertisement. We'll be making money back, although I know you're not making money when you're spending it, but you know what I mean.
I had reservations about this before. My reservations are not satisfied. If you look on page 53 of the document, and I do appreciate you paginating these long documents, because it really does help a great deal. If you look at page 53, the recommended level of $100,000, which and the increase to 500 cards. Now, the $100,000 would be designated buyers and ordering officers, but I think this puts this gives, you know, let me just say, my point of view on this, and I'm repeating myself again, is very much colored by the problems in the District of Columbia with credit cards several years ago, which I was very much involved in. And we found a scandalous situation. And I'm not suggesting that this is going to happen with Metro WMATA. Mr. Tanglerini, you know what I'm referring to.
I do.
And it very much colors my reaction to this. I, as a general proposition, I favor a conservative approach, even though it might have some inconvenience, you know, absent some compelling reason why we have to put so much grease into the system in terms of being able to spend huge amounts of money very rapidly. Others may have a level of comfort with this that I don't have, but I continue to have these reservations.
And I know this is the one that really people dwell on, but this is the one that has the most benefit, frankly, to the authority at one level. Designated buyers and ordering officers already can make purchases, can commit the authority to $100,000 by simply giving a PO and then and working out an invoice. This allows them simply to use the bank, use the credit card provider as our accounts payable shop. It allows us to reduce the cost, the expense, and the time associated with doing routine procurements. In a billion-dollar organization, we have more than a few routine procurements that exceed, that are up to $100,000. So in many ways, this is simply a tool for better managing our accounts payable shop and our procurement shop. This is not someone in a bus garage somewhere who has a $100,000 card.
How many people will have this? How many designated buyers and ordering officers are there that will have a $100,000 empowerment here?
Very limited. These are what I would call special use cards. I have 14 buyers in the purchasing department, and I have two ordering officers. And the buyers.
So a total of.
So there's seven,
so
but
there's
we would
six,
like.
You're saying that there are 16 people, 16 employees in the authority that will have this capacity.
We would like to, if it works in our purchasing organization.
Well, please just answer my question. I know you want to answer some other question, but
no,
my
sir.
Question is, how many people within this authority, how many employees will have the capacity and the capability of spending $100,000 in a single purchase on a credit card?
I would say it would be 25, no more than 25 employees.
And they're all under your supervision?
Not all of them. 16 of them are under my supervision. But we might find it beneficial to give, let's say, somebody in the non-revenue vehicle shop the authority to place orders against existing contracts. And the point here is that these contracts have gone through the normal procurement process. They've been awarded, they've been negotiated, they may have fixed prices already, and they have terms and conditions and delivery schedules. So there are even safeguards built into that. But if we allow somebody in the non-revenue vehicle shop to be able to order against those contracts, there are some inherent efficiencies in that process. And what I really like is a little longer term is the ability to, if that system works, we can go back and take a look at whether we need to inventory and stock those items in our own warehouse or whether we can shift that responsibility over to the suppliers to provide that material in a just-in-time basis.
Right.
So we think there's a lot of upside to this.
Let me just finish my inquiry,
okay,
and then I want to hear what others have to say because others may have different experiences with this. But so the number of people who would have the $100,000 empowerment could be expansive because it's not limited to a particular number. It's to be determined in the future as to how many people have this.
It could be expanded, but it would be very controlled, and they wouldn't step up to $100,000 authority immediately. They might have $10,000 authority, or one of my buyers might have $50,000. We put the $100,000 up there because that's the limit of the simplified acquisition threshold. But I can tell you that as the purchasing manager, very few would have that limit to begin with.
Is there other discussion? Mr. Lindgren?
You're also suggesting that the this authority already exists. I mean, the payment method would change because you would have access to a credit card, but the authority to make payment at the same level already exists. So, so other than the payment mechanism, the ability to make that purchase right now is already there.
I mean, if this were something other than a credit card, if we could call it a, some kind of automated invoice charge of vehicle, maybe it wouldn't be so difficult. It wouldn't raise the alarm bells. But this is simply a way, as we've talked about here, a way to actually speed payment to the vendor and allow the vendor. Take a number of different process steps out of getting things that are already ordered, contracts that have already been let, delivered to a garage, and the possibility of eliminating storage.
Let me just say, some of the problems you have in a major company like WMATA is the ability to have just-in-time inventory, the ability to execute payment for things that you've already committed to.
Right.
That goes a long way in slowing up repairs, a number of other things that we need to have on an ongoing basis. My company, actually, we are in the debit credit card business. There are the ability to put in merchant code that will prohibit and limit what purchases can be made based on merchant code prohibition. We do that all the time in the healthcare and the transit business that we're engaged in. So that restricts what the card, in fact, can be used for. Very often, when abuses were made in debit and credit cards, those prohibitions were not there. And the whole industry of debit and credit cards has changed quite a bit over the last 3 to 4 years in terms of its sophistication, so you can control expenditures and where purchases can be made. We control millions and millions of those expenditures with our accounts on a monthly basis, so we have and we do not allow abuses to occur for our clients' employees. So it can be done, as long as you put in place the kind of controls, the monitoring that you're doing, particularly if, in fact, the expenditure that's going to be made by the car is already being made now. I think that is a critical point for me. If the employees already have that authority, we've already granted that authority, as part of their normal procurement, they're making those purchases now. All we're now doing is saying, rather than doing it through a purchase order with paper, you're doing it electronically with plastic.
That's exactly right.
If I could add to that, if there is any employee who has any notion of then exploiting this system, it's very clearly called out, because unlike the current process, there's a very clear individual's name associated with this payment vehicle. And so we will have an ongoing, very obvious, very clear audit trail for everything that happens. And yes, maybe things will happen, but then you can find them, you can catch them, you can seek restitution and take appropriate action. The current system is a little more convoluted, it's much slower, it's costly, it requires us to maintain stores of resources that cost us in the form of warehousing, that cost us in the form of staff, that cost us in the form of time, it cost us in the form of vendor relations. And so this is an opportunity to move forward on some improved business processes. I recognize there are some implications, and I'm sorry about the history of a particular individual in the District of Columbia that we have to, several years later, kind of fight our way through that when we make a proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. In my personal business, I had one person years ago that had a problem with a credit card, and the systems are much better now, as Mr. alluded to. When the reports come, they tell you exactly whether they spent it on housing or airport, and the fact that you get a 1% rebate, I find very attractive on top of all the other efficiencies. So I think what you've done here is much improved over our first discussion, and I appreciate the work that's gone into it.
Thank you.
Mrs. Back.
Mr. Graham, I count me as kind of being cautious on this for a couple of reasons. I look at what other jurisdictions are doing, and it seems that nobody else is doing anything close to this. And I'd be curious to know why, because everybody is looking for a way to save a dollar. So I would want to know why this is a mechanism that they have not assumed. The other point that I would raise is, while I appreciate the fact that authority exists now with certain purchasers up to 100,000, in the preparation of an invoice or whatever mechanism is used, I'm assuming that gets reviewed by somebody, and there's paper that flows from some place to another. To me, that's a little different than being able to push a button and say, okay, $100,000. So while I realize it's not, it may not be much of a difference, I'm just concerned that we go from 2,500 to 100,000 all at once. And the other concern I have is, we talk about savings, we talk about it's a good business process change. Can we cut a position is it going to save us? Because if we cut a position that, or if we, you know, do something else to show that we are utilizing the savings, then I'm more persuaded. But I got to tell you, to go from 2,500 to 100,000, when we don't show an imperative other than it's going to be better, I'm just concerned about it.
And I think what we would like to do is actually have the opportunity to show the potential for savings, and maybe not cutting existing positions, not filling vacant positions, and maybe speeding our service and improving our vendor relations, reducing costs over time. We look at what the other jurisdictions do, and the single transaction threshold that we're proposing is the same. The one difference is this notion of using it for designated buyers and ordering officers only.
Why don't they do that? The district has $9 billion. Why don't you do that?
Well, and I'll tell you, when I was the CFO of the police department, I tried to do this. And this would have been a smart thing to do then. It would be a smart thing to do now. And I'm proposing it here. The reason why, I think a lot of people have a lot of concern about providing authority under a credit card. There's a fear of credit card. And people like the folks in the district who, the one guy who went to a shoe store.
It wasn't one guy.
Okay, well.
It was not one person.
Okay.
And but I also have a personal experience in my agency where people got into trouble with credit cards. Right. So it is not unusual to have people.
That's why using merchant code lockouts, and those would be people who would be covered under the single transaction limit, and limiting it only to a procurement officials or other designated buyers is a way to just use the tool, the potential for the tool.
If I could add a comment, we've modeled these recommended changes in many respects after Fairfax County. Although it is not reflected here, Fairfax County does use their purchase cards up to $100,000. As we want to do in very strict, controlled, designated situations. So some of their agencies will have cards that have procurement authority up to $100,000.
I feel very ambivalent about this, and I share some of the concerns that the staff is expressing, specifically the $100,000 limit. My concern that that's a limit per transaction.
Yes, sir.
Which means that, you know, 10 of those, it's $1 million. So, you know, that's one thing that makes me uncomfortable. I will say, you know, I also appreciate the fact that you're looking for ways to make efficiencies, and there are undoubtedly some economies and efficiencies that have been achieved here. I think those are real. Mr. Tangalini and I were touring the 4 Mile Run facility last week, I guess, and just talking to people in the bus shop there. And it happened in the course of talking about how they were dealing with certain issues of supplies there. It came up sort of randomly, and the fellow explained a way in which this, the degree they're able to use it now is actually very helpful in them in being able to meet certain supply needs. You know, so I don't doubt that there's some benefits, and that it might be substantial. But I do share the concern that these things do pose a risk, and the risk is somebody being able to do something really bad in a hurry that costs a lot of money, and the difficulties of monitoring and controlling that. That the statement in here says that there will be a zero tolerance policy for violations. That's a popular phrase for a lot of different things, and I'm always skeptical about what it means. Good idea, but in this case, I'm not sure what it means. What does zero tolerance for violations mean?
It means the card would, if you had credit card authority and you violated any of these rules, you would lose that authority and the card, someone else would be responsible.
Take your credit card away.
Yeah, yes. You'd lose your company card. Now, depending on the severity, I'm sure other things could happen, but that's the minimum that would happen.
Okay, but I just want to be clear on that. It doesn't mean you're going to get fired. It means you're not going to do it anymore.
You could be fired.
You could be, yes.
And that's possible, and hopefully we wouldn't find out that under existing rules that an arbitrator would reinstate you. I'm not being flip here. I mean, it's a matter of what degree you really have control over something like that, and that is part of the concern. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Hutchins was next.
Okay.
We've had the discussion. I think many of us have expressed the caution and concern about this. I think it would be really helpful to everyone here probably if you could really outline the steps that an approval for the 100,000 or up to 100,000, and also what multiple transactions would do in the process versus purchase order or invoicing would do against a credit card. Because I think that is what we're trying to understand. Is there enough approval process that guards against the abuse that could happen? I think we've heard that there are procedures in place and there are procedures within the card utilization. The question is, can we feel assured that the people that are involved must follow and be accountable in the process, be it by paper or by electronic process? I think there's an analogy here that's important.
I was going to ask the same question. Can we get a response to that? That could help clarify this.
Well, the approval process is exactly what exists today. If I have a purchasing agent that
walk us through so that we can get a sense of what's done prior to the ability to execute with the card.
Okay. I have a purchasing agent that works for me, and that purchasing agent is issued a delegation of authority. Let's say that authority is at $25,000. So a purchase requisition is created by the customer to buy something that will come in to that buyer. If it's under that buyer's delegated authority of $25,000, the buyer can make the buy. They're a contracting officer and can do that. They've been trained and have the expertise to do that. If it's above $25,000, that has to go to that buyer's supervisor, a supervisory purchasing agent, who reviews to make sure that everything has been done properly. And then if it's been done properly, the purchase order is dispatched. There's no change in the process. We're simply adding another procurement tool to that process, that being a purchase card. And so the processes and the approvals and the checks and balances are all in place.
So two people have to sign off on it?
If it's above that purchasing agent's delegated authority. In other words, we'll give authority to a purchasing agent, and if it's within that authority, the purchasing agent can execute that purchase order. But above that, it has to be approved. And then the material will come into a receiving dock, and it'll be received by a third party, just like it's done right now.
But there's always there's a approved purchase order that starts the process?
There is an approved purchase order from somebody else, one of my customers out in the field, one of my customers here at JGB that says, we need to buy brake drums. And they'll submit that purchase request.
When your customers internally in WMATA.
My internal customers.
So we will know that this has been an approved purchase order from somebody within the organization that comes up for payment. Payment by your purchasing agent.
Comes up for purchase using the purchase card,
that's
and
right.
Of course payment then goes with that. So the vendor is paid immediately when that order is placed with a purchase card.
So you already have a purchase order that has been requested and approved before the purchasing order can use the card to make
There's a purchase request that has been approved, yes sir.
So there is so you have built in, it's not just the purchasing agent taking the card out of his pocket and saying, I'm going out and buying materials. So you have
absolutely not, no.
And then you do have the receiving end, as Ray mentioned, so you again account for the item. It has been said many times, it's really not even any more authority, it's just a different vehicle. And it will down the road result in better pricing, better service, because informally, and we're going to do this formally, meet with our vendor community, but what we're told is that because of slow pay, bureaucracy, et cetera, in this authority, there is a price markup, because they know that. And if we can convince them that we've moved out of that and we're going to pay very timely, like the credit card, we're going to pay twice a month. We're just going to auto-pay twice a month, and then, like you do with your own personal card, you'll look at the bill. If you have a dispute, you'll deal with that. So that's where we're going.
And this is an approved purchase with a vendor that we have selected that has within budget, that's with a purchase order, payment for goods that we've requested.
Absolutely.
And you'll have merchant codes files in there that would prohibit purchases of clothing and various other kind of items, so the card could not be used even at the end for those kind of purchases.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
If they try to make a purchase with that card, the purchase is declined.
That's right.
Okay, can I get clarification on that? I think I understand what you're saying. But so that if I'm somebody who has access to this, I try to make any purchase that is not within that contract and authorization, it won't work?
Within, well, you put dollar limits on the card, so the answer to that is yes.
Well, I mean,
if I put a 20
merchant code as well would be,
and the merchant code.
So if you tried, you're
okay. Let me give you a more concrete example. I go do something online. They ask for a number. I evidently have access to the number. I plug the number in. Does the payment go?
No, it's actually. I've actually had that experience myself with my purchase card using an online purchase. It has been denied.
Tell us more about that.
You
How are you buying? But the system works.
You can't buy that checks and balances work.
I was testing.
I think that helped our case, but
we'll stop there. We'll stop there.
Let's see. Now, wait. Now, we've got an order, though. We've got an order. Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Probably the only one that has a little local government experience here, having been issued a purchase card from Prince George's County for a number of years.
Local government
as an employee, of course. And Gordon,
you
need to stop making these defining statements at the beginning. Get yourself in trouble. So.
Well,
but go ahead.
You were so eloquent in your questioning. I thought I didn't really have to say anything. But one thing is, what we're trying to do here is to improve the people that actually work for this authority and give them the ability to do their jobs better. And I think that's what we have to look at. One thing, we're going to have a purchase card administrator somewhere here.
Oh, we do.
Is that you, Mr. Griswold?
Yes, the purchase card administrator works for me in my office.
And he looks at these daily, right?
Absolutely.
Every transaction daily. So you have not only the person using the card accountable, but the person that you have, they're overseen by somebody.
And the Auditor General also goes to each cardholder and reviews their transactions.
Yeah, but that's later down the road.
That's later, but yeah. You have the capability with the new online accounting through Citigroup to go right online and look at the transactions almost in a real-time basis, either by cardholder or by transactions that occurred during that day.
Yeah. It makes things so much easier for the worker. And, you know, my colleagues in the city, the same fraud can happen with paper as it can with credit cards. We have jurisdictions here can, you know, if they don't want to do the paperwork, they find ways to shortcut it. You know, some jurisdictions might not want to pay people under a payroll system, and they'll
Having a long time before credit cards.
Exactly. So we're trying to make improvements here at the agency, and I think this is going to be a great improvement. And it should help morale among our employees. When they need something, they need it now. They don't have to do a purchase requisition and go through all kinds of rigmarole. I know it was advantageous to me in my career several times to be able to take that card out and use it. And
this program is 7 years old. We started it in 1999 with a trial program with First Union Bank with 46 cardholders, and then we went to the board in April of 2000 to expand it through the entire authority, and it has been one of the best programs that we've put into place.
Right. I'd like to move approval of the staff recommendation.
It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Has everything been said that needs to be said? No. Not quite. Mr. Kaufman.
Mr. Chairman, couple questions. One, you mentioned having the ability to lock out certain particular companies. Can you set it up with today's credit card technology such that the buyer can only use that credit card designated companies? Can you
Absolutely. And that's what I envision in some of these contracts where we would give somebody the authority to order against that contract. We could set that contract, that credit card up with simply that vendor, and then that's the only company that the credit card holder can order against.
Well, Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I would ask the maker of the motion if he'd accept a modification, just for clarification, that it makes certain it's very clear in here that it includes that it would be structured with lock-in. Only these are for those specific vendors that have already been approved, so it does tie back to the contract. Second thing is I'd like the item modified so it specifically lists the positions that would have these cards.
Because
you know, you say procurement agents and the number is 14, then it was 16, then it was 25. List the 25 positions.
Okay.
So if you could make those two changes, you got to.
No problem, Mr. Coughlin.
Yeah.
Mrs. Mack?
Well, I would like to make some more changes. Since we're trying all this out to see how it works, I'd be much more comfortable if we had a smaller number than 25.
25
with 100,000. The answer, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
Ray Griswold.
Mr. Griswold.
Thank you.
In answer to someone's question over there, I don't remember who it was, said there'd be two signatures on this, but his answer was depending on the authority limit. So I guess if you have approved authority of 100,000, there'd only be one signature.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that was.
But none of my buyers right now have $100,000 authority.
Well, I understand that. So.
Would that authority change, Mrs. Mack?
Well, right. Would that change?
Probably not. I'm fairly conservative myself, to be honest with you, and I would, you know, walk before we started to run here. We'd make sure that everything worked properly before we would increase that authority. And again, my buyers using standard purchasing procedures right now, the most authority that a single buyer has is $50,000. We put the $100,000 in because that's the upper limit on the simplified acquisition threshold.
Say that again.
I understand.
Okay. I said so, I don't see.
No, you said your buyers now who have 50,000
right
have to have yeah right. I understand. Have to have two signatures. Well,
above that authority, they would have to have a supervisory review. If it's within their authority, then they have the ability to issue that purchase order under their signature.
All right.
And so the same thing would happen with a purchase card. If the authority is $50,000, anything above that would have a secondary review.
Okay, that's a little comforting. And could we put that in our motion? Okay.
Well, that's Charlie's motion.
What do you
want to put? Oh, I'm sorry, your motion.
What do you want to put in there?
I want to put in there that there will be a supervisory review.
But there already is.
Yes.
No. Well, not if we don't say so at 100,000.
For purchases above current authority.
All right.
For purchases above current.
Right.
Okay.
But also, as I indicated, I will move that we give this authority to 10 purchases, just to pick a number.
Why?
Because I would like to see how it works. I'd like to see some limits on this. And I'm not comfortable that it is being used in other places. This gentleman says it's being used in Fairfax County. I'd like to know where else it's being used. I mean, clearly that if it's as much of a efficiency and a money maker as we've been told to believe, then I'm just curious to know why it's not being done in other places. So I would like to start slow.
Mr. Chairman, can I tie to that?
No, not until we have a second. There's been an amendment. Has there been a second? Is there a second?
Second.
There's no second. The amendment fails for the lack of a second. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Further discussion? Further discussion?
Call the question. You want to call the question, Mr. Mayor?
The question has been called.
Well, wait a minute. No,
it is not ready for them. We're not ready to vote. Okay, so there's further discussion, Mr. Kaufman, Mr. Zimmerman.
Another way to get it, I think Mrs. Mack's concern. One is to limit the number of people. The other approach would be to put a sunset on it. however long these folks think that they need to prove that it works to realize the savings. So maybe as an alternative to limiting the number of people, leave it at the 25 and say, look, you have this time certain to prove that it does.
Well, let me tell you what's wrong with the 25. Now, maybe 10 is not the right number.
Five.
But this gentleman has responsibility for 16 people. So the other 10, other nine, mm-hmm. are not in his under his direct control.
That's right.
So if this is a demonstration, I think we ought to have it first focus in the procurement office before we put it out on the road.
But under the initial amendment, we would list the specific positions. Yeah. We would detail the specific right. individuals and positions. So that's
already in the motion.
That's in the motion.
And it would be very limited.
And they would be officers, most likely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied with your discussion, Mr. Kaufman? Mr. Zimmerman?
I sympathize with this Max point. I thought 10 was probably too small if we're going to try this. And that's not the way I would want to specify it. I think specifying a number of positions and, I'd be willing actually to limit to within the one office. But what I was thinking was that the part that gives me the greatest concern not just the number of people who have it, which under the original proposal wasn't in our motion, so it wouldn't actually be our policy, but it is now. But it's the quantity. I mean, it's not just the $100,000, and it's the how many transactions of $100,000. I mean, I really would like to cap the amount that could go through in a given period of time. So if there's some way to do that, to put some kind of lid on it, that would help me.
Why would you impose a cap that at this point has no function if, in fact, the normal course of business, these purchases are being made now? So what you're doing is taking away the advantages of using the card.
The cap is really the value of the contract. You can't spend more than what you've contracted for.
Mrs. Hutchins?
I had great hesitancy when I heard this, but I think we really have heard that. This is what we do every day anyway, and we're using a different mechanism. Maybe it is an opportunity to provide a short window to experiment what this okay. means to us and come back.
Mm-hmm.
You never talked about what, I know we do our audits of cards, and we get a frequent audit and random audits of cards. But maybe it's an opportunity to set up a window in which we would, one, do the audits, and two, come back to the board with the experience with the recommendation on a shorter window.
That would be
that way we would hope that there would be no Fahrenkrog and mm-hmm. you name it, 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. But more importantly, we would see functionally how it works. And I think the comfort is, how does it really work, and how do you build in the protections that we're looking for? And I think we're talking and hearing them in an abstract sense right now, but maybe if there's comfort to see it move forward, but limited as to how long it can go before we get feedback, then we have the opportunity to send what we want.
Hey, do you wish to try this for a trial? What period? 12 months, 6 months?
I'd try for the rest of the fiscal year.
The balance of the fiscal year, which would be approximately 10 months.
Okay.
Is that your pleasure?
Okay.
All right, so you'll accept that as a... I have two questions. What is the cost of the use of this card for a vendor? How much does the vendor use for the convenience? How much does it cost the vendor for the convenience of the use of this card?
Yeah, it varies. The amount probably average would be 3 to 4%.
3 to 4%.
Right.
So that the assumption is that vendors are willing to pay that because there's a 1% rebate if we spend more than $1 billion. What is the threshold?
The 1% rebate is on our estimated spend amount of $10 million a year, which is
million.
What we've
okay,
done.
So there's a rebate back to us, but the vendor is costing the vendor 3 to 4%. Is that right?
Yes, but the vendors get paid immediately, so the cash flow is significantly improved under that situation.
So it is thought to be in the vendor's interest
yes.
to pay that amount.
That's what you do.
How are we going to select which cards are going to be used? Which companies are going to get this?
We have a contract in place with Citigroup, right now for issuing the cards and providing those services.
Even though the amount of money that is going to go through these cards could increase very dramatically,
yes.
We are going to stay with the same vendor, the same card vendor.
Yes, we awarded that contract in January of this year after a 5-year contract with SunTrust, and the financial incentives were increased significantly with the new contract.
So we're going to stay with the same contract, which has how much time to run?
We have a 2-year base and 3 1-year options. So we're 6 months into that contract, so we have 4.5 years if we choose to exercise the option after the initial 2-year base period.
So even though we are dramatically expanding the amount of spending within this card, you don't feel it's advisable for us to seek additional proposals as to that?
No, sir, because the card has provisions for that increased spending level. In other words, the 1% rebate will go up the more you spend. If you spend, for example, in the first year, if you go from $10 million to $15 million, we get an additional $100,000 rebate.
Well, I understand that, but I'm asking a different question.
Okay.
The question I'm asking is, would it not be to our advantage to have a new RFP with this dramatically different spending occurring to see what other cards are willing to offer us?
We could do that in 18 months.
Right.
And we would have information after the end of this fiscal year to determine how dramatically our volume did increase. It's entirely possible that it doesn't increase as much.
Yeah,
as
I couldn't project right now what our volume would be to be able to put that in an RFP. I need some experience to be able to do that.
An existing contract.
I understand that, but I'm just asking the question about what is occurring under this situation. Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor? Do you want to have the motion restated?
No.
You understand it?
Right. We know what it is.
You know what it is.
Yes.
You know it when you see it.
Yes. I've seen it in many varieties in the last hour. So.
Okay, good. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. No. Please report me as voting aye.
Thank you.
Record me as voting present.
Record Mrs. Mack is voting present. Record me as voting no. Our final order of business for today is the WMATA parking service contract for FY08.
Mr. Chairman?
No, that's the wrong information. I will be doing that.
Metrobus.
Is to implement Saturday service on Metrobus Route 22A.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to move approval.
Second.
So moved and seconded. discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Great presentation.
That motion is carried. Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
You want to come back to comments?
Run!
We're not quite finished. I move that the board meet an executive session immediately following this meeting to discuss contractual and personnel matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6.3. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
We're moving second to discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.
You did.